Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and today we break down week 28 of this Premier League season. Here are the top lines. Arsenal beat Palace 4-1 to open up an 8-point gap, top of the Premier League table. Tottenham drop points late at Southampton. Antonio Conte goes on an incredibly fiery rant. Patrick Vieira fired midweek at Crystal Palace. We'll get into details of that. Newcastle United take all 3 points late behind Alexander Isak Brace. And the relegation battle is beginning to heat up. 9 teams all close to the drop zone. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Yes, mate. And I suppose we have to start with the latest game we've just seen. Arsenal 4, Crystal Palace 1. Lots of side stories in this game. You know, can Arsenal put the 8-point gap with Manchester City playing in the FA Cup? Yeah. How would they react from going out of the Europa League? Disappointment for the penalty for Martinelli misses. For the Crystal Palace team that sacked the manager not long after we'd done the podcast, was there a new manager bounce? What was Palace going to look like? So some questions coming into the game, Rob. But I think we both agreed, talking to Rebecca after the game, is... this Arsenal team look like they're embracing the challenge and getting better week by week.
They're getting better. They're improving. That's what's crazy about it now. And I know Crystal Palace are in the position they're in too, and we'll get into the details of them a little later. But just the way that they play, you know, and Crystal Palace, to be fair, organised the team a little differently.
Paddy McCarthy was
taken over as the interim manager right now, and he employed two very deep central midfield players to basically man-to-man Odegaard and Granit Xhaka. Kind of inside threat.
So he brought Milivojevic in, didn't he, and Doucouré, right, and basically said those two you go mark the two Arsenal guys there. And then Schlupp was a little bit higher and going to try and engage with Partey in the middle of the park.
Yeah, different, because Vieira's had him real three, like invert that. And instead of Schlupp, you have somebody else kind of holding. So it's a little bit different. And it worked through the centre, but then Arsenal, of course, they've got talent in different spots. And this Arsenal team, it's almost like it automatically finds where the weakest point is. Like, they'll try and play through the middle where Odegaard and Xhaka try and sneak in there. If that's not working, they've always got the wider options. And today was a day for Bukayo Saka and Gabriel Martinelli, Rob, when it came out to them in different situations. Not that the Palace fullbacks were getting a ton of help, but Martinelli and Saka were the difference makers today and were excellent.
It was interesting, Rob, because at the start of the game, I thought Palace, in the way they set up, whether it's slightly surprised, Arsenal, we knew after an emotional Thursday night defeat in the Europa League. I thought they had a couple of chances. Wolf Zaha had a shot. Edward, I think, went through, whether he was slightly offside, but one or two looks at the Arsenal goal. And kind of that's, you know, 10 minutes on the clock thinking, interesting.
I guess that was a plan, wasn't it?
Yes.
You know, soak up the pressure and try and
hit on the wide players, which they did. I mean, Ramsdale actually makes a really good save from Zaha, the one that hits his hands, hits a post and hits his back, goes to safety. And then all of a sudden, Arsenal clicked into gear, as you say. Arsenal are a bit like sort of how City used to be. Like, you plug one hole with your finger, the water pops out another. You plug that hole, it pops out. They kind of overload you in some area of the pitch where they're going to get an advantage.
It's almost like they've got a plan.
Yeah.
And we've heard Pep say it before, where he talks about his inside attack and his outside attack. And it's virtually identical with those high number eights, if you like, that run forward, that create problems. And again, they did a great job in the wider areas. I mean, it's just, you know, I know that Gabriel Jesus is back, so more good news. You've got him back. You've got Emil Smith-Rowe with more minutes.
Yeah, because Trossard started again, didn't he, in that central role instead of Jesus was on the bench. He had 45 minutes in the Europa League.
Yeah. Trossard, Rob, in terms of that and the whole Jesus thing, Trossard gets another assist today. He plays lovely for Granit Xhaka to score one of the goals.
I tend to think, right, and again, this is only based off of the last three or four, that he makes them better in attack.
Yeah.
And that I would not change that. To be fair, I did say about Nketiah as well that I liked him in the side when he was in the side.
He got a bit of an injury now, hasn't he? Yeah.
What are you like on that? Jesus would be one in a start.
Right now, at the level they're playing, with the influence that Trossard's having on the team, having come into the club for a fee of up to $33 million, right now, he's in the starting 11. Gabriel Jesus has been out a long time, Rob. It was a bad injury. His body's still recovering, getting back to full match fitness. Absolutely no reason to force him into the team, to get him moments at the right times. And I agree. I think the front three now starting is Martinelli, is Trossard, is Saka.
I like it. And
Jesus on the bench to give you different options at different times as and when you need it.
There was a bit of an issue at the start. Of course, William Saliba did get an injury in the last game, didn't play. Rob Holding came in, did a reasonable job back
there. I thought he did well today.
Yeah, he did a reasonable job back there. But I'm going to chuck in my little underappreciated, Rob. And a player that I'm sure we've mentioned before, he's part of the Arsenal side, not one that grabs all the headlines, but involved in definitely the first goal. He assisted, I think, the second or the third goal. Ben White.
Yeah.
Ben White. Ben White is growing as a fullback. More really as a central defender, Ben White, when he came from Brighton.
He came from Brighton, yeah.
But his versatility. Yeah. He's just got he's got natural ability to play in different spots. He's quick. He's a good defender. He's surprisingly safe and steady on the ball. Mm. He showed with his little assist today. He poked the ball through to
Saka. Yeah.
For his lovely goal.
Yeah.
He did a great job on his winger for the most part, Zaha, after that first little run. Mm. You know, and I think he's a player that I don't think people appreciate how good he is, actually, Ben White. And it's just one of them, like, hey, listen, let's just think about what he's doing and watch him. Mm. Watch him. There's so many other players to watch on the Arsenal side, I get that. But if you watch what he does with the ball, his defensive side of things, his passing side of things, is sometimes moves into midfield side of things, but mostly on the right-hand side. I think Ben White's a little underappreciated in what he's brought to this team, And a big part of why Arsenal look like they're on the brink of becoming Premier League champions.
It's a really good shout. A couple of reasons why I'm with you on that. Remember, I think it was a game against Manchester City when Tomiyasu played and he dropped Ben White.
Yeah.
Mistake.
Yeah.
Mistake.
Came back on.
Didn't work. I think Ben White gets underappreciated because he sort of famously come out in some interview, Rob, or something, and said, like, he wasn't particularly into football. He doesn't watch a lot of games. And people, like, go mad, like, you know, current day football. Listen, the dressing room's built with very different people with very different styles. So I think he's not your natural, maybe, football guy. And you're right, he's underappreciated. He can be a auxiliary centre-back if they need it. Obviously, they've got a bit of cover there. He can play right back. He helps him. He makes him better in attack when he gets forward. He makes him better in defence when he has to play against someone like a Wilf Zaha who can be a threat. So, yeah, really good shout. Everybody was talking about the money, wasn't it? That it was £50 million, I think $75 million when he first came. And how can you spend that much money on this guy? I think he's starting to prove that he looks like good business. So, yeah, it's a good shout, Ben White.
Arsenal look good, don't they?
They look good.
They're getting better, Are they getting better? They're improving week by week.
Well, they're improving. I mean, less dramas. I mean, they conceded a goal today.
They had that comeback, didn't they?
So yeah, they had a drama
against Bournemouth at home.
But less dramas. They go to Fulham, difficult place, and get 3-0, dismantle them 3-0 in the half time. They dismantle Palace again today just by finding a way in the end. I'm in the position, Rob, where I feel they're enjoying the challenge, not thinking. It's interesting because I stick with what Lee Dixon said to me. Let's wait for the time when the wobble comes. We're 10 games to go, Rob.
They had a little wobble.
They had one. Yeah, it was
like
one
Man City.
Yeah, got beat Man City.
Everton, they lost. They lost to Everton and then Man City. And they drew with Brentford in the middle of that. So there's a bit of a wobble. But then they got back on track.
A wobble, but then they've won 5-6 straight games now.
I think Lee Dixon's saying is the last 10 games.
The last 10 games. So are we going to... Do you think this is going to come now is kind of where I'm getting to. I don't. I've said for a while, this young group of players, Rob, it's almost like because we don't know, we've not seen them in a title run before, people go on the negative. Well, they're going to have a wobble. Well, they haven't hit the thing yet. What if it's the opposite, Rob? What if it's the opposite with these? They don't get a wobble. They actually enjoy it more. They're not in Europa League anymore.
I know, mate. I know. But there's gonna be some nervous moments, I think. The last, and this is what Lee says, until you're right there, Rob, three or four games left, you've got like a 5-point or a 3-point lead. God blimey, can you imagine what the Emirates are going to be like in terms of their excitement level? Is it then and only then? Because at the moment, they look like they're playing with not care in the world.
But we've seen teams, Leicester teams than that. We've seen Tottenham teams. Yeah, we've seen other teams.
I'm not saying it's going
to
happen. But
at this point, starting to go, like, oh, it's 10 games ago, it's getting in the head. I don't see any of that with Arsenal.
I know. And then maybe they're going to cruise right through it. I mean, maybe they're so grooved, they're so organised, they're so confident, they're so young, they're so energetic.
Yeah.
They're so hungry, by the way.
Yeah.
How hungry are they as well? Just that. Again, we'll get onto Chelsea and stuff and other teams. But just the way that, Rob, they score a goal.
Yeah.
Well, first off, they're a bit like Newcastle in terms of that incessant attacking.
Come at you.
They score, they go again and again and again and again. I mean, it must be a nightmare to play against it. That's a difference, and that's how they look so hungry. That, God, they score one, they want to go and get two to alleviate that little wobble or a set-piece goal that could drop them points. Yeah. So, all around.
Just for a little update, Rob, on the FA Cup, we've got the Manchester United Fulham quarterfinal playing just as we're doing this, and it just looks like Mitrovic has put Fulham 1-0 up away at Old Trafford.
Yeah, beginning the second half. Again, we'll run through the results of the FA Cup. We do know the draw for the FA Cup as well, but later in this podcast, we'll kind of, we'll summarise and we'll
right now, Fulham, as we stand, 1-0 ahead at Old Trafford, so good result for them. Let's turn it to
switch it over.
Crystal Palace, because there was much a headline today, I think, based on Patrick Vieira getting sacked less than 12 hours after we do our last podcast, and we both say Patrick could be all right for the next two or three games. Steve Parish, the chairman of Crystal Palace, obviously had a different thought on that. They decided to pull the trigger on Friday, Rob, and he was relieved of his duties. Paddy McCarthy was put in charge interim. Talk about Roy Hodgson coming in on tomorrow, possibly Monday, and taking over the reins, getting things sorted during the international break. Was it the right decision? Based on what you see today, how worried are you for Crystal Palace?
Well, let's go back to the decision, Rob. Let's get a quick line from each of us on that. I was on the show on Friday, so I got to react to it.
Yeah.
I think it was way, way overreaction. The 12th in the league table, I said it before, that means that six, I know there's only 3 points gap, but there's still eight teams below them. So six have got to overtake them in 11 games. Which I still think is unlikely. I know the point, but the ones below have got to get results.
Yeah.
And quite a few of them to jump over them. So I don't think there should have been a panic. I think Patrick obviously has had a bad run. If you went through, which I did, line by line of every single game from the beginning of 23, this whole...
They haven't won a game, and it's not a great stat.
And they should find a win, even though it's been a tough fixtures. But they were like 1-1, 0-0. Yeah,
there was only a one goal deficit in all of the games.
One was a Spurs 4-0 or something. Anyway, but nothing for us to scream at it. How many times, Rob, in the last week or 2 weeks, or you can go back further, have we mentioned Palace? I'll tell you what, they've got to be a bit careful, but we never thought they were in the mixed relegation. There's a couple of results happened last weekend, and all of a sudden, hang on a minute, they're only 3 points in it now. They lose at Man City, wasn't it? And then all of a sudden, and he's gone. Yeah. Before we've talked about Brendan Rodgers and David Moyes and many others that are trusting those guys, I'm surprised that Steve Parish, who is the decision maker, really, is a bunch of owners he really is... Is basically going to trust, and it's not done yet.
No,
Roy Hodgson.
It looks like Roy Hodgson did a good job
at Palace, mid-table kind of, but they want to go in a different direction. That went really well with Vieira, and now they're rewinding, say, "Well, we trust him more,
trust
to
Roy
get the,
more
in the critical moment of this club's history this season than Patrick Vieira." I mean, how surprised were you at this?
I was surprised, just like you. I said, I think on the last podcast, expect two or three games more into the games that they supposedly should be winning.
Yeah.
So there's Leicester, there's Leeds, there's Southampton, there's Everton coming up, Rob.
All of them. West Ham after that.
Yeah.
Six games.
But if I get to Southampton and things haven't changed, then I'm thinking, we've got to do something emergency now to stay in the league. Mm-hmm. But My two thoughts, and I said them on air today, was there's obviously a big fear at that football club of what relegation could mean. And just like you, there's a lack of trust in what Patrick's done. And that's the bigger point to me, in that last year the guy played a different kind of football, got 12th, got to the semi-finals of the FA Cup.
And a strong finish to the season, by the way.
Strong finish to the season. In the end. This season, you know, looking fine again, then have a bad run. You know, 11 games winless in the Premier League's not good. No wins in the calendar yet, not good. But you're basically saying, for those 18 months you've seen this guy work, the way he's tried to do things, what we try to achieve, you don't trust him to get the three or four results. It might be three wins and a draw, 10 points or something, that's going to keep you in the league. Mm. That is a bit shocking to me. That either tells me that maybe the things behind the scenes we weren't seeing, or these other people involved in the decision, they talk about whether the dressing rooms had a say, how close, you know, ownership is to some of those things. But to go back to Roy is a safe pair of hands. I can see it. I think it's plug and play. Roy knows the club, knows all the people at the club, knows the players, will push the right buttons, will probably get the job done. But I'm not convinced that Patrick Vieira wouldn't have got the job done, given the same opportunity.
Let's just switch it a little bit, Rob, in transitioning here from this decision.
Yeah.
You said, and you know a few people at the club a little bit, and you know, you've got some good contacts in that area, that you suspect that the ownership might have got the temperature, I think you said.
Yeah, the temperature of the dressing room.
And one of the biggest characters in that dressing room is Wilfried Zaha.
Yeah.
And I, in my notes before this game, I've made a note, let's just watch Wilf's body language. Is he going to be? I mean, again, maybe it's unfair, Rob, to speculate what involvement he might have had in it. But he's a key player, and we watch him, and he didn't have a good game today, and his body language didn't look great, Rob.
No.
So, should we take anything from that maybe he's pissed off that Vieira's gone?
It certainly
wasn't buzzing.
It could be. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to second guess what somebody's body language is. We don't know. You know. How well, we conceded he didn't particularly play well. His body language wasn't good, but it's hard to say that either he was or wasn't involved in the game, and that was the decision, and that was the reason or not. What I would say is, anybody coming into this football club, and it looks, you know, all intents and purposes, go to Roy Hodgson, he needs to push those buttons pretty quickly, because Wilf Zaha can be the difference between staying up in this league and going down. I think he got 11 Premier League goals a couple of seasons ago in one of his best seasons. He's got six so far this season, Rob. He flew out the traps and got six early on. Seems like he's been on six goals forever. His form's not great. His body language today and his tactical understanding of how to help his team out was poor. And he's the most important player at that football club.
Last thought from me, Rob. I'll swing it over to you. Is there any way that the disruption of changing the manager at this point, that was in some circles, again, we can't be close to what's going on in that training ground or within the club. Could it have a worse effect? Could it be detrimental to do this now? Instead of, come on, Patrick, like, liven up a little bit, you know, this is getting a bit, it continued in the hope that these next six games are right, the ones are in the same area as them.
Yeah.
Could it go worse from here?
Well, I think what you would say going worse would be that there'd be
a
majority of players who didn't like it, not playing well, lose more games, and we're worse off than we were, which is why I tend to think they must have got the temperature of the dressing room as if to say, listen, if we're going to do this, Patrick, listen, make sure everybody was at least on side or understood why they've made the decision. It's a difficult one for this football club, Rob, because I still think they could be in trouble. I think they could go to Leicester, and everybody else seems to have got a win.
Just whether they're going to be better from now or not. That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah,
are you confident that Roy Hodgson will make them better?
They're gambling that Roy. The interesting thing down at the bottom of the table, these nine teams in this unique year where it's going to be a scramble, this is definitely going to go down to the last day of the season. Six of those nine, Rob, have made at least one change. Southampton have made two. Everybody who's made a change, I would say, would probably think we're probably better for it.
Yeah.
Southampton have closed the gap of better. Bournemouth are in reasonable health.
Yeah.
West Ham haven't changed. Leicester haven't changed. Forest haven't changed. But Everton, Leeds, Wolves, Bournemouth, Southampton,
Southampton's still down there.
Yeah, but they look a little bit better. Yeah. So that also might have played into, you know what, everybody else has made a change and we've seen a little boost. All we need is that little boost and we're good.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric never could be. It was built with a driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience the electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, well, we'll see.
Let's see who's in the hot seat. By the time we get back on April 1st and 2nd next match week, round 29, we'll know who's in charge and we'll see how that one goes.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to another huge story, Rob. And this is around, of course, the game that we saw on Saturday. Southampton 3, Tottenham Hotspur 3. Spurs ahead 3-1, I think, after about 75 minutes. 3-1 to Tottenham after 75 minutes. And Antonio Conte's side that he's brought in, I think at that point, Perisic was into the game, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's at least 6 or 7 players that he has brought in, by the way. It's got his signings in the side right now. And yet he was furious with what happened. And we're going to run that? We're going to listen to
He had a 10-minute rant, Rob, with the press that made headlines all over the British papers and news in the UK. Here's just a little snippet, Rob, of some of the key things that he said, and then we'll have our opinion after this.
They don't play. They don't want to play under pressure. They don't want to play under stress. It's easy in this way. And Tottenham's story is this. 20 years that there is the owner and never won something. But why? Only for the fault is only for the club or for the every manager that stay here and... I have seen the manager that Tottenham had on the bench. You risk to disrupt the figure of the manager and to protect the other situation in every moment. Until now, I tried to hide the situation, but now no, because I repeat, I don't want to see what I have seen today, because this is unacceptable.
Wow, strong. Strong words, my friend. I thought Jose could rant.
That's, Antonio, that's world class rant.
That's world class ranting by the little angry man there.
I mean, I think our reaction when we first heard it was like, wow. Yeah. First off, I mean, we've got to love it, Rob, being in the media now, where a manager
just opens up, doesn't he?
And opens up.
Yeah.
He's, you know, and of course there'll be those saying he's doing this deliberately. He wants to be fired from the job. He wants to get paid up and get out, ready for the international break, or whatever it is. But I think that Spurs fans or some of them will say, fair play to you, mate. You're about right there for 20-odd years or whatever it is, long before they've won a trophy. Yeah. Calling out certainly the players, calling them selfish, Rob.
Yeah.
Calling out the ownership and and the chairman and saying, like, it's the same guy, different managers on the bench all the time. It's quite remarkable, really. I think the most thing, when you reflect on it, the most disappointing thing that the fans will be peed off with, he never accepts anything himself.
No, it's nothing about him.
If in the middle of that, Rob, if he would have said at any point there, you know what, it's me as well. Like, I've been here long enough now. I spent nearly $260 million. I've had three transfer windows. I've got Paratici, my director of football, that we've worked together before. The excuses for him are kind of running out a little bit.
Yeah.
So if he'd have just held his hands up just for a bit and say, I get it. I could look at myself as well. It would have been, but there was nothing. He threw everybody else under the bus.
Where he hurt himself for me, Robin, and I totally agree, is there was some real truth in there Spurs better, should make Spurs look at themselves and make them want to move on and be better. But, and here's my but, Rob, you cannot be an employee of Spurs Football Club and start talking about 20 years of ownership and we haven't won nothing and look at us and this is why we are. Hold on, that's what Arsenal fans shout at you. That's what West Ham fans shout at. You know, the Spurs, he can't win this. This guy's been paid millions and millions of dollars to address it. It's his job to make this team more collective and better and defensively better, Rob. It's his job. It's his job, Rob, to stay in the FA Cup, not drop Harry Kane on a night when winning an FA Cup would be important.
They should still beat Sheffield United without Harry Kane anyway.
Exactly. But they do. They play Milan twice in the Champions League. Not a great Milan team, Rob, and don't get it done. These things that he needs to take ownership of himself. I remember last week, Richarlison had said it was a S something season for me this year. And he said the only thing he didn't like was that he talked about I, not about we. He didn't take anything about the group. Antonio Conte excluded himself from this rant.
It wasn't we.
It was you. Look at you. You've had all these managers. You've had all this. We managers can't do anything. You're a football club. Come on. Antonio Conte was brought in to get Champions League football. He's a Champions League operator. He did a brilliant job manoeuvring his team into fourth place last season. With more money spent, with more time in his football club, he should be there again. No excuses, Robin. I think he's put Daniel Levy in a corner. And I'm not sure how Daniel Levy comes out. Daniel Levy will do the best. The one thing I like about Daniel Levy, he'll do the best thing for his football club.
Right.
And if the best thing now is to hang on him for a while, he'll do that.
Well, that's the call.
If the best thing is to get him out the door, he will get him out the door, Rob.
To finish in the top four. For this team to find a way to get the results. Right now, they're going to drift out of it. After the next match week, Newcastle are all over and they've got two games in hand. They're just 2 points. It looks like they could get overtaken into that spot. So that's it.
Yeah.
And on the same kind of idea there, Rob, is that rant, is it going to shake up of this squad and this club? Right, listen, this is what I think. Mm. Are we going to go for this? Are we going to get nasty? Are we going to find ways to get... Or is it so
damaging?
So is
this damaging, management? Yeah.
You never can't say that's good management. But
is it one final shake of this squad?
Mm. Or is it so damaging? Is it so damaging that, listen, between now and the end of the season, because he's obviously not a happy guy.
No.
He's not happy at this football.
No, I mean, he's gone in the summer at Leeds. It's just whether that's going to happen before
and
now
that's the
and
core.
Then. Yeah.
Is it better for the team now?
Do you know what, Rob? We were talking obviously off air at times, and we chatted last night a little bit before we left for this studio, and we talked about the players in the dressing room, Rob. Back in our day, kind of wouldn't say rants like that were commonplace, but you were used to being told exactly what was going on. With managers, there was fights in dressing rooms. It was a very different dressing room back in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
And it was a different type of player who would almost go, right, lads, we've got to show him. I'm not sure this current group of players, and I'm not saying it's just Spurs players.
But
players now are of a different generation. Back in our day, Rob, you could not. We would not have been allowed a month off for any mental health issues. We would have been told to get on with it, get through it and whatever. There was not that kind of it wasn't that era. There wasn't that support for players in the same way. The current day player is different, and thankfully, football's moving on and starting to understand that. I'm not sure in that dressing room how some of those players will take some of that criticism and be spurred on by it.
I don't think
it could almost go the other way. And if that is a case, and if Daniel Levy feels that's a case, then they've got a problem.
You've got to go tomorrow.
He's got a problem, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has got a problem. I don't know. And you make a great point there. I don't know. If that's me in the dressing room and he rants like that, and I'm not going to be happy with the way things are going as well.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah. Let's find a way to pull together and get out of it. So, I don't know.
Just in that game, the Fulham game, there was a bit of an incident that I think William got red carded for handball, and then Mitrovic looks like he's got a red card as well.
No way.
Yeah, it looks like.
Yeah,
he got a red card for the handball on the line, which is denying the goals an opportunity. Mitrovic got a red card for dissent.
Wow.
And it looks like, is that Marco Silva?
Marco Silva is also...
Marco Silva's heading to the tunnel as well.
Heading to the tunnel. And United about to take a penalty.
Wow. All happening at Old Trafford.
Yeah, it is.
As it was all happening. It was all happening with Antonio Conte down at St Mary's yesterday. Yeah. How do you see this? Does this end in tears? Will he get to the end of the season managing this football club? I don't think so. And I'm not sure it happens this week. I just think 10 more weeks.
Got a couple of weeks now. International break. Somebody get in there. And Pochettino's ready, available.
Yeah, that would be the one, wouldn't it? That would be the one I think.
Daniel Levy's got to quickly... But people are leaving now, aren't they? It's not as though we can sort of get a temperature of the dress, what's going on.
Yeah.
Because they're all leaving for international games. So
that's why I don't think it will happen quite yet. Right. But I'm not sure he lasts the season.
So maybe... They come back from international.
Yeah.
You see what they look like.
Yeah.
The next day, week's training.
Yeah.
And that game, and then make a call there.
Absolutely. But listen, they're still going for fourth spot, mate, and they're being hunted down
by
being hunted down by the likes of Newcastle, Liverpool, Brighton. Maybe we'll still think that they're in it
Bruno
as well.
Bruno scores a penalty, Rob. Bruno scores a penalty to make it Man one United. In the quarterfinal of the FA Cup.
One. So it's two men down and the manager.
The head coach, manager.
In the locker room.
At Old Trafford.
Crazy stuff going on there.
Okay.
Fulham up against
it. All right, let's move it forward, mate.
Let's move. Well, should we have a quick line on Southampton in that game? Because, by the way, 3-1 down to Spurs.
I forgot Southampton.
In fairness to Sellers, he throws on Alcaraz, he throws on Sulemano, he makes changes, Rob, he affects the games, he gets the goals. They got a bit of luck. Got to be honest, and I didn't think it was a penalty kick. That Ward-Prowse ends up getting the 3-3 draw. Saul has a sort of very little contact, trying to clear the ball. Maitland-Niles came in front of him. They got the penalty kick. But credit to Southampton, Rob. To score three goals in the second half against an Antonio Conte Spurs team to get a point, that could be a huge point for them.
I mean, I know they're still sat at the bottom of the league table by a point. But the energy, the endeavour, the confidence, you know, it doesn't look like a team bottom of the table, does it? Was it last year? What was it? Watford and Norwich last year? They dropped off, didn't they?
Nobody's dropped off.
So every team absolutely believes that they're still in it, they can still find a way out. That's why we're seeing spirited performances from some of the teams down there.
People are believing
in it. More spirited than Southampton at the moment. Mm. And those young players, they want to continue in the Premier League, Rob. And change the team a little bit. I like Walcott in the side at the moment. He's been out of the picture for blimmin' ever, Theo Walcott. He's scoring, he's assisting, back in the side in a sort of withdrawn striker role. Thought he did a really good job. We've got another update, mate.
It looks like with the two men down and the manager also in the locker room, that Manchester United have come back and scored a second goal. We're just getting pictures of Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
It looks like got the second goal for Manchester United. Fulham up against it.
Well, nice work from Luke Shaw. Yeah. He just stayed behind the ball. Clever finish, actually.
Yeah, really nice finish. Yeah, so United look like 2-1 up in that game.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
A team who won 2-1 on Friday night, this Friday night game, Nottingham Forest versus Newcastle. Forest went 1-0 up through Manuel Dennis with a lovely finish. Alexander Isak got an equaliser just before half-time for a Newcastle team that dominated the game but just kind of got a little derailed by the Nottingham Forest goal. Then Newcastle pushed and pushed and pushed and eventually got themselves a penalty kick in the last minutes of the game, and Isak gets himself a brace. Newcastle get themselves 3 points, and Newcastle almost get another bout of energy and seem to be coming again.
I think they have done. I think the last game, Eddie Howe made some changes to the team. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, they're on a bit of a downer. Made some changes. Willock was one. Jacob Murphy was another one. Alexander Isak was
the third one. Seems after the League Cup, hasn't he? He might have gone a little bit flat.
And he said that their focus was taken off of the Premier League in the lead-up, Rob, to the final.
To the final,
They're so excited about getting to a final, and the fans are so excited that he reckons that the players did take their eye off it a little bit. Obviously, they lost the final, and they had to regroup after that. But there's an energy and a desire from this team that we saw afterwards, Rob. We talk about connection with fans and when something's pretty special is happening. It looks like it's happening right now. I believe that Newcastle United will finish in the top four. I think the fans are going to pull the team into that top four. And Alexander Isak really is somebody that could not do it single-handedly, but could just bring that bit of quality and important goal to enable them to do that. I think the rest of the team, you know, is a pretty strong side. Yeah. I remember we did the lineups, Rob, and I talked about this spine. And the last two games now, it's the first time all these new players, this spine, have started together. Nick Pope in goal, Sven Botman, Bruno Guimaraes, and Alexander Isak. That's the future of this club. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of, I won't say special players yet, but on their way to being special players for the team.
Important players, yeah.
And Newcastle United have picked up with these guys in it now. Wilson on the bench, Isak up front. And they look, they're a super fit, energetic team that's got some quality. A very important win for them.
And one of the things we've talked about this weekend, and it's very evident when you see Arsenal and you see Newcastle, is the intensity of the play, Robin, the way that they drive forward and the energy to get. Maybe Chelsea a little bit the opposite. Have good possession, but don't have that same intensity.
It's just an extra little something to break down tough defensive that we haven't really seen before. Mm. It's like we see two banks of four, and we're like, we've got to try and get into these areas, we've got to try and get behind them. But how about flipping pulverise them with energy and go from one side and ask again and again and again and again and again? And they find ways it breaks down. And that's, I think there's some similarity between Newcastle and Arsenal.
Yeah.
That incessant attacking. Mm.
Yeah, it's interesting. There looks a real hunger about Newcastle. But you stole my line from me, because my underappreciated performer of the week, my friend, goes to Alexander Isak.
Yeah.
Who's, I think it's like 6 Premier League goals now. He started the season and got an injury, so it's been a bit stop-start since his club record move to Newcastle. Callum Wilson started the season well, was scoring goals and was probably, you know, quite rightly the number 9. But I think we've always felt like that Isak, given the opportunity, can score goals. He looks a threat, Rob. He's a good runner, good dribbler of the ball, holds it up well, looks intelligent, good heading technique, nice finishing off both feet. His first volley was lovely finish where he controlled it, a ball behind him. He could be next level, big time, Newcastle United centre-forward. A black and white hero for that football club who love their strikers up there, Rob. There isn't a better position in Premier League football than a free scoring striker for Newcastle United.
Now, we know there's some great number nines around, right, Rob? And I know that Harry Kane is pretty,
yeah, another level.
Pretty exceptional.
Yeah, and Erling Haaland's not bad as well.
Yeah, so Alexander Isak, has he got the potential, though, right, to be the most complete type of number nine? Now, I'm not saying he's going to score the goals that Erling Haaland scores.
Yeah.
Or Harry Kane.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the general game as a number nine.
Yeah.
I would argue that he's got a few more moves. He's got a bit more drop the shoulder.
He reminds me a little bit. I was thinking about last night when I was thinking about who's around. Patrick Kluivert. Remember Kluivert? Played for Barcelona and Dutch. He's a centre forward, but, you know, he's very talented.
Talented, technical, natural
ability. He can make things himself. He's good in the air. We see him dribble.
We can drag and score. He scores from aerials, head balls, crosses, set pieces. He's kind of got a bit of everything from number nine. Of course, there's a way to go. Yeah, I think he's only like 22, 23.
Yeah.
But you know, as we look forward, when you look at him play, he's got a lot of attributes to be a good number nine.
And if they get the right sort of support around him and threat from wide areas and midfield quality.
The score goes on his own, Robert. He's one of them who can turn somebody, little step over and stick it in the top corner.
He's assisted one or two as well where he's done good work down the side of the pitch and cuts it back. So, yeah, I just think that he's a player that's not that well known. He's had a few injuries. He's come into English football. He's one of them to keep an eye on. Absolutely. Alexander Isak for Newcastle United and Eddie Howe. Great win for Newcastle. Keeps them in there, Rob, and they're sitting just behind Tottenham now.
Couple of games in hand.
Yeah, a couple of games in hand. 2 points behind them and a couple of games in hand. So, still in with a big chance of getting Champions League football if they can keep it going until the end of the season. All right, my friend. Let's move on to
Chelsea.
To Chelsea, yeah, some of the other results. Chelsea 2, Everton 2. I think we all know what we're seeing with Everton. A more organised Sean Dyche team. Interesting, Michael Keane back in the side. Connor Cody's on the bench. Mikalenko's been dropped to the bench. Godfrey's in the left back. Solid back four is what he wants. And I think you can see the benefit of that and the work that's been done on the training ground, Rob. And then the big question for Everton is how and where are they going to get goals up front? There's no Calvert-Lewin at the moment. Demarai Gray's playing as the lone striker, with Doucouré being that one from midfield
who
joins him. And then McNeil one side, Iwobi other, Onana and Garner. It's kind of a well-suited Everton team for what they're trying to do.
Let me try and put it in a bit of a slightly different way, Rob. He's squeezing more out of this squad than certainly the last manager did.
Maybe what
I think is possible. He's squeezing, Rob. Yeah. He's got a little bit more out of Doucouré to get goals from midfield. Well done. He's squeezed a bit more out of their set pieces, Rob. They're scoring goals from set pieces.
He's squeezed
something from the forwards at the football club. Ellis Sims comes in, scores a goal. Yeah. He's got a little bit more from Dwight McNeil. You know, you could argue that, you know, players that looked ineffective under Frank Lampard, he's got a little bit more from areas that we didn't know that was there.
Really interesting. So talk to me about squeeze. Is squeeze man management? Is squeeze a bit of experience and know-how?
Absolutely.
Pull you in my office. Hey, Doucouré, you were in the kids. I like you. You can win us games. You know, is it a different way? Yeah. Is that you know what? Maybe we don't give enough credit to Sean Dyche, and I'm a big Sean Dyche lover. And you know, I think there's another level to Sean Dyche's coaching and football playing ability. Right now, it's all attention.
He's got squeeze, and again, it's impressive, mate.
If you told me that Dominic
Calvert-Lewin's going to be out again for a prolonged period of time, I'd be like, wow, they're really in trouble. But he's found ways. Onana's been better for midfield. Just trying to spin it forward a little bit, Rob, back to your point, really. If they can stay up, it's going to be fascinating to see how he can grow the team.
Yeah.
And maybe Everton have found a guy for a longer term that can really start to put them into a position to be proud of
steps,
into
yeah.
that new stadium,
yeah. Yeah.
gradually improve the quality of the squad. Do you think he will adjust his style with a new project?
Interesting, that whole kind of style question, because I think it's one that people like to bash Sean Dyche with. And I'm not saying he's going to be playing Pep Guardiola-type football. I'm not saying that, Rob. But I think there's another step. But I also think there'll be a Sean Dyche type of player. that's next level to what he had at Burnley. Technically next level, but you still got to be able, you've still got to be committed to do the hard work, to have all the other good basics that you have to win.
But play
but technically
a bit more.
Better, yeah. So we can play a bit more. So I can have the ball a bit more. Mm. So I'm not afraid of if it breaks down. A little bit what Eddie Howe has done with Newcastle. Mm. You know, that kind of, you know, there's no big time players. There's next level technical and all of a sudden.
He's squeezed, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's done a great job of
brilliant
squeezing.
You know, yeah. Your Joe Ellingtons, your Almirons and all that. So, yeah, I love the squeezed arch. Yeah, that's a new one. But, yeah. Brilliant for Everton. Let's talk a little bit about Chelsea, my friend.
Yeah.
I mean, we all thought three straight wins in all competitions, three in the Champions League, things are looking better. Graham Potter's starting to feel a little bit like the Chelsea manager. They're out to Everton. They go up twice in the game and you end up with a 2-2 draw at Everton. There wasn't boos, but there certainly was no applause after the game. It's almost like a bit of scratch of the head, really. Like, where are we with Graham Potter?
Rebecca asked you a great question afterwards. Should Graham Potter be more angry after that?
Yeah.
And I said, that's a really good, I think that's kind of it. His team, to me, looks like it needs a rocket up its backside.
Well, it mirrors the manager. The team mirrors the manager.
Yeah, is it a bit, it's a bit passive, it's a bit nice, it's a bit,
it's important he doesn't do things for show, though. You know, waves his fist and does all histrionics just for show to get the fans, because that's not him. And
let's have the team doing that. Then. Let's have the team doing a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah. He maybe needs a little bit more for his team. But it was interesting. You're right. It was a great question. My other point, Rob, and I know you'll understand, and I hope our viewers understand it. Sometimes when you're a big six manager, you've got to be different. You've got to act different. You've got to expect it. You've got to have more expectancy. And
when Everton
come to Stamford Bridge, you're at home with Chelsea with all that you've got on the lineup. You go up twice. You win the game, Rob. Yeah. You have to win the game.
Or you're angry and you're frustrated and you're really disappointed. We're given the control. We get the control with the possession.
Yeah, yeah.
But with that guaranteed possession control, for me, it's a safe way. Oh yeah, we want to keep the ball. Yeah, let's keep it. Keep. And then everybody gets behind the ball. It's so different to when you see Arsenal. We watched the game today, Rob. The game's going on. I'm saying to you, God, look at Arsenal. They've scored. And look at them now. They go on and on and on again. They're pushing again. They're pushing the inside channels, the outside channels. They're pushing. 2-0.
Yeah.
Didn't see that from Chelsea. Saw goal. All right, this is nice.
Like Everton still feel they're in it. Yeah.
And they felt
set piece goal.
You said it.
Goal
you said they're going to get another one.
There's something in this game.
Is that going to change, Jan? Is that something that...
I'm not sure it will change. In you know, he's not going to turn into Antonio Conte all of a sudden.
But the team
could do with a little bit of that, and he's got to put that into his team.
Right.
You know, Eddie Howe isn't a big fish shaker.
Yeah, but look at his team.
His team. Arteta is a bit more animated on there, but look at his team. You know, when they've got you down, they put their foot on your throat. They're squeezing. Graham Potter needs to have a word with Sean Dyche, maybe, mate.
Check his stats.
Squeezing.
Yeah, check his stats and running stats, sprinting stats. I looked at Everton in that first half. I'm thinking, Everton, this is comfy.
Yeah.
They'd be happy with this. They never got worked. He's got worked.
You made a really good point today where we saw Arsenal. It was 43 entries into the last third.
Yeah.
And Chelsea
entries
was,
and touches in the box. There was like 14 or something.
Yeah, yeah, like way down. So all that build up to nice inside their half. And then let's go back. Let's go square. Let's go here. Let's go there. I before the game, I'll be doing your notes. And I'm saying, you know, people are talking about this week. You know, Chelsea could go deep in the Champions League. You never know. You know, with that kind of a Chelsea, I'm thinking between now and the end of the season, can Graham Potter go unbeaten? Could they go unbeaten?
Start to build some mentality.
With Chelsea, you know, get that fear back. Yeah. And play Chelsea now. You don't fear Chelsea. No. Not like you have done in the past.
Yeah, I listened to a few radio phone-ins, Robin. One Chelsea fan come on and he said, he's out of his depth. He doesn't understand what it means to be a Chelsea manager.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's harsh.
Yeah,
it's still early yet. Mm. We had a real tough time. He's got some victories, and he hasn't lost this game.
No.
But I said it from the flipping minute. I want and need to see a development, an improvement of this team under Graham Potter at the end of the season. Then let's assess it.
Yeah.
And now, because he won three games, doesn't necessarily mean, Rob, that he's going to continue to go on an upward trajectory. If it drops off again, they start conceding too many. I mean, Everton are one of the lowest, maybe the joint lowest scorer in the Premier League.
Yeah,
they
scored
twice
goals,
against at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
And when you were ahead both times. They were behind, So still got work to do for me, Graham Potter. I want to see, I've got to see more than that. Yeah. If Chelsea want the standards, they want to get back to being the very top, the team's got to be ruthless, it's got to be hungry, it's got to have a spirit and mentality much more aggressive than what we saw in that game.
Tell you what, you don't want to go into Real Madrid games playing like that. They'll get Wells United in the Champions League.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Should we talk about Wolves and Leeds?
Yeah, whatever you want.
We're talking about teams down at the bottom of the table. No, this is two teams that are part of the famous nine, and any one of those nine that could go down. Really good day for Leeds, Rob. Got themselves 3-0 ahead. Jack Harrison, who was close to being one of our underappreciated performers of the week.
Yeah.
Goal and assist last week. First goal and involved in most of the good stuff they do again. They get themselves 3-0 up with goals from Aileen with a header, and then Christensen come on as a sub. Then Wolves got back into things with Johnny Otto with an outrageous 35-yard lob. If you haven't seen it, go on to our Premier League update and have a look at a brilliant finish. And then they get a deflected goal through Cunha. And at 3-2, Rob, they're in the game. And then massive moment where Johnny Otto overruns the ball, goes into a challenge with Aileen, gets a yellow card, but it goes to VAR. Yeah, we see it again.
Bad challenge.
Yellow's rescinded, red card, off he goes. Mm. Rodrigo comes on, gets it 4-2. Frustration for Lopetegui and one or two people. Nunes, I think, gets a red card, and Diego Costa's on the sideline. It's all going off. Mm. Rarely seen Wolves opened up like that defensively. And Javi Garcia's got to be delighted that, although he conceded two goals, four goals away from home, Rob, a win against a team down there against you. Yeah. That's big. That's what gets you out of trouble.
Yeah, it does. And Rodrigo.
Yeah, 11 goals now.
He's 11 goals now. Top goal scorer by quite a distance. Took his goal lovely, by the way. Lovely little chip over the goalkeeper. Really important player. We know that Petra Bamford started the game. He's back playing now and starting to look like scoring goals. I think Grassi is smart enough to keep an eye on the defensive side of things, Rob. But you're right. I mean, conceding a couple of goals is not great, but that's a huge win for them.
That's
a huge win for them with a manager change. They're just starting to think, like, he hasn't really done much, has he, Grassi? You know, and they were sitting.
They were second bottom, and they're going now to 14th with a win. Well,
incredible difference. That's how it's going to be.
It's week to week, isn't it, this?
Yeah,
it's not you saying which three are going to down. Each week, you're going to have to assess.
And if Rodrigo fit now?
Bamford is fit now. He's got Nianto, he's got Ruter.
Somerville was bright, was sharp.
Somerville,
Harrison.
He's got Harrison, he's got Aronson playing.
Tyler Adams was out today.
Tyler Adams was out, McKennie played. But if they can get Adamson back.
Yeah.
I think we always know with Leeds, there's goals in Leeds. It's just the other end, isn't it?
Yep.
Can they be good enough?
Individually good enough to protect that goal a bit more. So, no, that's massive for them. Other ones we've got here, Rob, on our list, we have got Brentford. Brentford 1, Leicester City 1. Mm. I expected Leicester to lose this game because I do doubt their physicality. You know, watching the game though on our big screen?
Yeah, we have.
It was a sunny day.
Yeah.
Brentford have had a big night in the week. Was it in the week? They're under the lights. They had a great result. It may have been a good time to play Brentford.
Mm.
And they scored a lovely goal, wasn't it, with Madison's assist for
Harvey Barnes. Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Are we worried about... Leicester are still like fourth bottom. 25 points, 1 point away. We're assuming they're going to be okay, Rob.
You know this is a weekly thing, because I'm going to say, don't they face Crystal Palace next time out? I mean, that's massive. Right. Leicester play Palace when we get
back from the international break at Selhurst Park.
It's a massive game, mate.
Nottingham Forest versus Wolves.
Yeah. Two massive, you know, massive implications. If Leicester go to beat Palace there, Palace are right in it, and Leicester will start to feel like we're okay. If Palace beat Leicester, alarm bells, as you've said, because the Leicester team are not suited to a dogfight. Not suited to what will be required to scrap you out of trouble. They've got footballers, Rob. They ain't got scrappers.
I feel like Leicester, they're on a knife edge for me.
Yeah,
if they can get a couple of results over the next couple of weeks, everything's okay. Yeah. Brennan carries
on. And their confidence that their good players will get, they'll be fine.
Yeah. If they don't, then and Leicester pop into the bottom three with about seven or eight games left, you've got to seriously think about a change. Because it might be one of them where a defensive-minded rescue guy comes in,
shuts
the... Because they've got the talent. Ability, they have got some talent at the other end. Yeah. But I don't know. They've stuck with him. There's also a shout-out there that with Leicester's financial... They've got some big financial
problems.
They couldn't afford to fire Greg Rodgers. The money that it would take to make the change, so they're going to stick with him. I don't know. But that's... I guess it's a decent result for Leicester City. Nowadays, Brentford are good. Physical, tough. Have an incredible season. They are up to eighth in the league table now, Brighton. But 1-1, that one finished.
Aston Villa 3, Bournemouth 1. Aston Villa got off to a great start. Douglas Luiz scored in 7 minutes. And then, they got goals second half through Ramsey and Buendia.
Sneaky good Villa.
Sneaky good under Unai Emery. Emery were below Bournemouth when he took over. I think he took over the club. He has gone into the football club. These games, Rob, were the reverse fixtures from the first day of the season. Remember first day of the season, Bournemouth beat Villa. Bournemouth was being run by Scott Parker. Villa was run by Steven Gerrard.
Right.
Very different clubs, very different times we're in now.
Yeah.
Unai Emery has bought a structure and organisation and a style of play that suits the team. Leon Bailey's playing up front with Watkins now, looks better. He helped with the first goal. Jacob Ramsey, we know, is a real talent from midfield, gets forward and gets his goal. Buendia's in the team, scores and makes things happen. And that's another tip of the cap to experience, know-how.
Preparation.
Prep,
we know he's an uber-detailed coach.
He's a stickler.
Video sessions and tactics sessions and 11v11s on training grounds.
Correct.
But boring.
But you've got your job done, don't you, in that situation. And for Gary O'Neill, a little disappointment having beaten Liverpool last week 1-0. They now find themselves back in that bottom three, a point above Southampton, who sit bottom of the pack.
All right. Is that all for the Premier League matches, my friend? Have we gone through those? Should
I
we now
we
just go
that.
Through the results of the FA Cup as a quarterfinals, of course, this weekend as well? That's why we're a little lighter on the Premier League matches. Other teams were playing, of course, in the FA Cup. Let's just run through the results of that. Manchester City, there's another hat-trick, wasn't it, for Erling Haaland? 6, Burnley, 0. Of course, Vincent Kompany, former Man City legend, going back to the Etihad, get a bit of a thumping. He's got three goals, didn't he?
Incredible, yeah.
Brighton 5, Grimsby Town 0, Sheffield United 3, Blackburn Rovers 2, and the result of this one's just finished here at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
I think that's Manchester United 2,
Fulham
1. So, we know that the semi-finals, Rob, have already been drawn.
Yeah.
We have got Man United versus Brighton and Man City versus Sheffield United.
So, you know what everybody's thinking,
well, everybody's mate. Thinking.
Manchester Derby in the FA Cup final. Beware.
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 Beware of the De Zerbi.
De Zerbi ball.
That's going to be a really,
brilliant
really
game
interesting
of
game of football.
Who's got possession, who can control play, who can find those half spaces.
Because it didn't look super comfortable for Manchester United today. And I don't know whether they're in their best moment at the moment, United. I mean, they're still looking in good shape in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And the Europa League as well. But, Man United, Brighton, Man City, Sheffield United. You're going to go to a Manchester final potentially, but you're right. I think Brighton have got every possibility and a good possibility of making that a great game and getting through themselves.
Listen, mate, great stuff.
Yeah.
Good weekend. It was a little bit light, only 7 Premier League games due to the FA Cup quarterfinals, but no shortage of goals, no shortage of drama. Headlines, Vieira out, Conte dishing it out. And the Gunners put an 8-point gap between them and Manchester City. We're going to take a break for the international games coming up. We'll be back in the hot seat on Sunday, the 2nd of April, for Match Week 29 that sees Manchester City face Liverpool and 5th place Newcastle host 3rd place Manchester United in a massive game at St James's Park that will be rocking. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night for me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.